Welcome back to Between the Lines. We hope you enjoyed that break, because we're diving back into the depths of Scripture with more enlightening discussions. Join us now as we continue our journey.
The Lord thy God may show us the way wherein we may walk and the thing that we may do. And Jeremiah the prophet said unto them, I have heard you. Behold, I will pray unto the Lord your God according to the words. It shall come to pass that whatsoever thing the Lord shall answer you, I will declare it unto you. I will keep nothing back from you. And they said to Jeremiah, the Lord, be a true and faithful witness unto us. If we do not even according to all the things for which the Lord thy God shall send thee to us, whether it be good or whether it be evil, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God, to whom we will send thee, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God. That's a very difficult concept there, especially for a lot of Christians. Whether it be good or whether it be evil, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God. Can you say that, Christian?
Mm-hmm.
Can you be a Job? Can you sit in the dirt with everything you've worked for all of your life destroyed and say, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord? Or do you find yourself cursing God, arguing with God, saying, why, Lord?
Yeah.
Why have you done this?
Complaining about life.
Why have I tell you, Job was an exceptional case. Job was a righteous man. God and Satan got into a little bit of a betting match. You know, Satan says, I guarantee you, I can bring your man Job down and he'll curse your name. God says, no, I don't think so. This one's special. That's not what it is normally with us Christians. You get into the miry pit, examine your past life. You can come up. I know I can. How about you, Jonathan?
Yeah.
I can nail it.
Oh, yeah.
Why am I here? Like, why is this happening?
Oh, he'll put it in my head in about 5 seconds. Listen, because if I got any questions at all.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember that, Lord. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Accept my punishment. Oh, woe is me. Why, God, why? No. I know, God, I know why. I'm sorry. And it came to pass after 10 days that the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah, and called he Jehoiachin, the son of Kareth, and all the captains of the forces which were with him, and all people from the least to the greatest, and said unto them, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, unto whom ye sent me to present your supplication before him. If ye will still abide in this land, then will I build you and not pull you down, and I will plant you and not pluck you up. For I repent me of the evil that I have done unto you. And why is that? For 23 years he asked them to repent and look to him for answers. Now the evil has come. There's a remnant there. And what do they do? They're lying in the miry dirt, because the nation is totally dismantled, and they go to God. Please tell us what to do. We'll obey you, good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
God is rewarding them for just a little tiny bit of obedience. Christian, can you obey God long enough for him to reward you? You obey him long enough for him to take the punishments off of your life? To obey is better than sacrifice. He doesn't want your religion. He doesn't want your money. He wants you, your obedience. He wants a spiritual relationship with you.
And this is even after 23 years of warning them.
Yes.
And then putting them into the punishment and then giving them another out.
Yeah. And even being more graceful about the punishment.
Right.
God always starts out with the heavy hand. Wipe them all out.
Right.
Oh, maybe I won't wipe them all out. Yeah. Maybe I'll just have them carried away.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's like his wife's like, okay, honey, calm down.
Yeah.
Calm down. He's like, okay.
But just like the children of Israel when they were going over to Canaan, they sent the spies over, and two came back and said, oh, it's great, let's go. And the other 10 said, oh, no, we can't do it. It's too bad. There's giants there. There's walled
mm-hmm.
cities.
Mm-hmm.
God says, I'm going to wipe them out.
Yep.
And then Moses talks him out of it. He puts him in the wilderness for 40 years to slowly wipe out the entire generation. Well, what's he done here? They're carried away into Babylon to slowly wipe out the entire generation, and we're going to start again with new blood.
Yeah, so, makes you wonder, I'm sorry not to interrupt, but makes you wonder that if they came into line, like if they just suddenly came into line, like how history would have played out from that point. Because I'm sure that it would have been a different alternate path.
The greatest kingdom in the world.
Right. And what I mean is, like, even at this point where they're in the mire, they're down there, like, they turn, like, instantly. Like, I believe that,
you go back to Solomon's kingdom.
Yeah.
It was Disneyland.
Oh, yeah.
And it was only getting better.
Right.
Until he veered off course.
Right.
Got into excess. Yep. And then started importing all these foreign wives. These new bride catalogs laying all over the palace. I want one of those. One of these. Oh, I want one of those. Mm-hmm. And these wives brought their foreign gods with them. You know, men will go out of their way to please a bride. Especially the new ones, you know. Oh, yeah. Sure, you want your car waxed?
Yep. Yeah,
absolutely, I'll do that. I don't even wax my own truck.
Hadn't even washed it in 10 years.
Well, they imported their own gods with them, so... Yeah. Being the woman pleaser that he was, he started setting up temples to these other gods. Before you know it, the kingdom is off course. God's prophet comes and says, you have done wrong. Your child will sit on the throne, but after that, it's over. Same thing here.
Right.
Be not afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom ye are afraid. Be not afraid of him, saith the Lord. For I am with you to save you and to deliver you from his hand. The only thing God didn't say there is, he is a servant of mine also. Mm-hmm. And I will show mercies unto you, that he may have mercy upon you and cause you to return to your land. But if ye say, I will not dwell in this land, neither obey the voice of the Lord your God, saying no, but we will go into the land of Egypt, where we shall see no war, nor hear the sound of the trumpet, nor have hunger of bread, and there will we dwell. Now, God had said something a few centuries back when he brought them out of Egypt. If you ever go back there, you will die. And now, therefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye remnant of Judah. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, if ye wholly set your face to enter into Egypt and go in to sojourn there, then it shall come to pass that the sword which ye feared shall overtake you there in the land of Egypt, and the famine thereof ye were afraid shall for lo close after you there in Egypt, and there ye shall die. So God is reiterating what he had told them a few centuries back, because they don't even know the law anymore. Obviously, they don't even remember that. All those books of remembrance that Moses had printed up, they're all gone. Mm-hmm. So shall it be with all my men that set their faces to go into Egypt to sojourn there. They shall die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, and none of them shall remain or escape from the evil that I will bring upon them. God went to such depths to bring these people out of Egypt. That's why he set up that statute years ago. You ever turn back. I mean, that's like turning 180 degrees away from God, going back to the life he brought you out of.
That's kind of where I'm at right now in my head. I'm like, how many years has this been that you guys have been out and you're still like, we need to get back.
Yeah.
We need to go back.
Hundreds of years. There must be stories still circulating around between the old people and the young about it being good in Egypt.
Right.
But thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, as mine anger and my fury hath been poured forth upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so shall my fury be poured forth upon you. When ye shall enter into Egypt, ye shall be an excretion and an astonishment and a curse and a reproach, and ye shall see this place no more. The Lord hath said concerning you, O ye remnant of Judah, go ye not into Egypt. Know certainly that I have admonished you this day. There was a band shortly after they came out of Egypt, that returned to Egypt and died also. God is very forceful on this. Christian, God brings you out of something or something in your life that he delivers you from. Do not go back. Because if you go back, and you know what he has brought you out of? If you go back, it will be 10 times worse than it was before. Mm-hmm. Because God went through the efforts to release you from that. For ye disassemble in your hearts when ye sent me into the Lord your God, saying, pray for us unto the Lord our God, according to all that the Lord our God shall say. So declare unto us, and we will do it. And now I have this day declared it to you, but ye have not obeyed the voice of the Lord your God, nor anything for that which ye have sent me unto you. And therefore know certainly that ye shall die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, in the place whither ye desire to go and to sojourn. So here it is, fellas. You ask for God's voice in the matter. He says, if you stay here, he'll let you grow. He'll be with you. Things will go well. You go back to Egypt, you're going to die. Chapter 43, book of Jeremiah, WBFF 97.7. Between the lines with David and Jonathan. Came to pass that when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking unto all the people, all the words of the Lord their God, for which the Lord their God had sent him to them, even all these words, then speak Azariah, the son of Hoshea, and Johanan, the son of Kareth, and all the proud men saying unto Jeremiah, thou speakest falsely. Every time the poor man gets a word from God, goes and speaks to the people, they accuse him of lying.
Yeah, you're a liar, buddy. What are you? That's not
this
true.
This is a lie. Lock him up.
Yeah.
Stone him. The Lord our God hath not sent thee to say, go not into Egypt to sojourn there. So Baruch, the son of Neriah, setting thee on against us, for to deliver us into the hand of the Chaldeans, that they might put us to death and carry us away captives into Babylon. So Johanan, the son of Kareth, and all the captains of the forces and all the people obeyed not the voice of the Lord to dwell in the land of Judah. But Johanan, the son of Kareth, and all the captains of the forces took all the remnant of Judah that were returned from all nations, whether they had been driven to dwell in the land of Judah, even men and women and children and the king's daughters and every person that Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard had left with Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, son of Shaphan, and Jeremiah the prophet, and Baruch, the son of Neriah. So they came into the land of Egypt, for they obeyed not the voice of the Lord. Thus came they even to Tephanes. And came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, and Tephanes, saying, take great stones in thy hand, and hide them in the clay, in the bricklin, which is at the entry of Pharaoh's house, in the Tephanes, in the sight of the men of Judah. Say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will send and take Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, my servant, and will set his throne upon these stones that I have hid, and they shall spread his royal pavilion over them. Interesting. So them people going back is going to bring Egypt great problems.
Mm-hmm.
When he cometh, he shall smite the land of Egypt and deliver such as are for death and to death, and such as are for captivity unto captivity, such as are for the sword for the sword. And I will kindle a fire in the house of the gods of Egypt, and he shall burn them and carry them away, all captives. He shall array himself in the land of Egypt as a shepherd putteth on his garment. He shall go forth from thence to peace. He shall break also the images of Beth Shemesh, that is in the land of Egypt, and the houses of the gods of the Egyptians shall he burn with fire. You would think there's still stories in Egypt about what happened to the land.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all the plagues that happened over a two-year time period totally did an economic devastation of the land. And the last of the plagues devastated the land militarily. It was left in ruin. You know, and if you catch the other episodes on WVFFradio.com, you'll see when Joseph was taken into Egypt, Egypt was a very poor nation. Pharaoh was a poor king. Oh, how can the king be poor? There are lots of poor kings. There are lots of wealthy kings. At the time of that Pharaoh, he was a child Pharaoh. The nation was privately owned. It's like America. You know, all the land is owned by individuals. By the time the famine was over and Joseph was the governor, 7 years after the famine, Pharaoh owned the entire nation. Joseph had orchestrated a buyback of all the land, all of the possessions, and all of the people were actually servants of Pharaoh at that time. Very, very wealthy. All right, fast forward 350 years, the time of another Pharaoh. Egypt was invaded. The Assyrian sat on the throne, knew Joseph not. The Pharaoh before him recognized there's a problem. These Hebrews are more and greater than we, stronger, plus they're multiplying like rabbits. They could take us over at any time. He wanted them out, but he died. The next one comes in, the next Pharaoh comes in, says, yeah, they're more and greater than us, so we're going to put them under the whip, make them slaves. But you see, the point I'm getting at, because God brought Joseph and then the 70 Hebrews there, he made the nation great. Bible says any nation that holds up the Jews, I will bless. Any nation that curses the Jews, I will curse. The nation of Egypt was blessed abundantly because they took in the Jews and treated them like brethren. God blessed them immensely. And when they was time to leave, God returned Egypt to the point that it was when Joseph came in there, a very poor nation, not even able to protect itself militarily. And there, because of all those plagues, there had to have been stories of what happened to this nation when the Almighty God exodused the Jews, brought them out, even down to the firstborn of every family dying. And for the Egyptians to allow a band of Hebrews to come back in, fleeing, you see what happened to their nation also. They should have known better. They should have had more respect for God, the Jews themselves. Absolutely disobeying. Jeremiah says, don't do it. Don't go there. You're going to die. Oh, well, we're more afraid of Nebuchadnezzar. Yeah. And that's another point there. We're more afraid of Nebuchadnezzar coming in here and killing us. So we are going back to Egypt against God's wishes. Mm-hmm. And they had even told him, good or bad, we're going to do it. But Jeremiah is obviously lying. But we're more afraid of Nebuchadnezzar, so we're going to Egypt. So in all the irony, God sends Nebuchadnezzar to Egypt to smash that nation mm-hmm. and that band of Jews that were so afraid of Nebuchadnezzar, that's why they went there. Aye, this Bible is amazing. You've been with David and Jonathan today, WVFF 97.7, Between the Lines. There's nothing in this Old Testament that cannot equate to your everyday life, Christian. Obedience. The entire Old Testament is about the heart of man. Follow me with all your heart. Christ came after the law was given and reaffirmed the first covenant. Follow me with all your heart. Circumcise your children. He says, follow me with all your heart and be baptized. Circumcision of the heart. It's even easier, none of that cutting stuff. But the beautiful words of God. We'll catch you next time on WVFF 97.7.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Between the Lines. We hope you've gained a deeper understanding of God's Word and strengthened your faith in Jesus. Tune in again for more spiritual discoveries, 3 p.m. daily with David and Jonathan. Exclusively here on Veterans for Freedom Radio, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.